I asked the question, are you out of your mind? And you know, the real question is, how much time have we filled our mind thinking about the world and things of the world? Because if you really stop and think about it, I became a Christian about 35 years old. And from the time I was created or born until I was that age, the only thing I filled my mind with was what this world offered. All the stuff that the world had to offer, all the chaos and all the teachings of the world and all that. And same with you. And nothing about God, really. I put God off for that long. I didn't want to hear nothing about God, really. But I loved everything the world had. And I filled my mind, if you will, with all the stuff of the world. And even now, we have struggled with the world, the things of the world. It always caves in on our mind all the time, right? The mind I'm asking you to have you lost is the world's mind. Because Christ, the Bible, God wants us to have a new mind, a different world of thinking. And let me read Romans 12, 1 and 12, the 2 for you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, he's talking to Christians now, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to what? This world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. See, when our minds are so fogged and so crammed with the world's thinking, it's hard to get God into it. Now, God wants us to transform, change our mind, our thinking, to start thinking like Him. To start seeing the world the way He sees it. And this is what God is wanting us to do. But you see, how do we do that? Do we come up with our own ideas about this, or do we have some formula, or how do we change our mind to think like God? Well, that's very simple. It's the Bible. It's the way God has set it up. It took thousands of years to get this book called the Bible, and I think it's up there. I left it up there. He wanted us to have a book. And you know how precious that book is? You know people died for that book? You do a little history about that book that's called the Bible. The people that helped put it together it died. Lost their life to give that into our hands. And yet, very few people really take interest in it, which is very sad. But this is God's mind, really, because in 2 Timothy... And that's the scripture we talked about. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, reproof, correction, or instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, it's not your idea, not my idea, about what we should do and not do about God. He's telling us Scripture. We talked about that this morning. Scripture is the only thing we can rely on. You can't rely on me. If I tell you something, it has to be backed up by Scripture. Don't listen to just every Tom, Dick, and Harry out here without following with Scripture. Because this is how we change our minds. Believe what God said and not what some man says. Because, now I'll back up on that a little bit, because it's the apostles that we have to listen to. And the apostles were the one Jesus left behind to write these scriptures, to put these scriptures in order for the truth that we would be able to understand how to live out our life today. And the Holy Spirit was behind all of this. And we know that if God dictated it to these men, that we could trust it. Anything beyond Scripture, don't listen to it. But God's wanting us to renew our mind with the Holy, Word of God, because all Scripture is written by the inspiration of God, by Him. So this is important, how we redevelop our mind, what we really listen to fill our mind with anew of the Spirit. Because here's why. The mind of the flesh cannot please the Lord. In Romans 8:5, it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnal-minded is death, but the spiritual-minded is to be peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." You and I, before we became Christians, cannot please God. We could not please Him. Because the flesh will not please the God. The fallen man, mankind, all of us were there at one point in time. I don't care how hard we try, we could never please God. Because He's wanting us to be able to see that we were dead. We were dead, spiritually dead. People without Christ are walking dead. And let's understand how that works, because some of these people are really good people, so don't get me wrong. We were what we thought were good people at one point in time. We walked around and believing that, you know, even if we believed in God, we thought we were good people. But God said that we were dead in our trespasses and sins if we wasn't really saved. Now, He says here in Ephesians, "And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked." Now, listen to this real close. Talking about us as well before we became Christians. It says, "In which you once walked according to" what? The course of this world. "According to the prince of the power of the air." Who is that? Who's the prince of the power of the air? Satan. "We were walking in his dictates." And it says, "The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others." See, before we were saved, we were the walking dead. And we were walking, really, in the footsteps of Satan. We were letting him control our lives. We didn't know it. People who are not saved don't know that. Because they feel, like we talked about a while ago, they feel good about themselves. They're okay. They're not murderers. They're not, you know, they work hard. They help people, whatever they do. But if they're not saved people, they're dead people. They're walking for Satan. They don't know that. But that's what this is saying. This is Scripture. So we got to understand one thing here. There's got to be a new birth. Because the way we've lived in the past, the way we live, I don't want to get over there. The devil's working. I told you. I don't think, if I stay away from over there, I'd probably be all right. But anyway, the point I was trying to make is that we have to understand that the devil is not finished with us yet. just because we're new people, we got trying to get a new mind, he's still working for you. He wants to take you down. In fact, he already has those who are not Christians. He ain't going to work hard on them. He's after the church. He wants to take you out of here. He wants to take you down, just like he certainly don't want us to be preaching. He don't want us to be teaching, because the things that we're trying to teach and preach will save souls, and he don't want that. He wants you to stay in your ignorance. You see, until I come to realize the kind of condition I was in, I had to make a change. And I was told, in order to do that, I had to get my life in Christ, and I done that with a baptism for salvation. And let's move on, because here's another issue that we got to work with. Many are trying to serve the Lord with the mind of the flesh. Did you know that? In Romans 10, 1 through 3, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire." This is Paul talking to the Jewish people. "My brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to what? Knowledge. For by being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." I think this is the most dangerous place right here that you can find yourself. These people had a zeal for God. They were working hard, they thought, for God. But Paul the Apostle was right here as well one time. That's how he knew this. He was zealous for the law under the old covenant. And he was trying his hardest, but he wouldn't accept Christ at first. And without Christ, he had no hope, but he didn't know it at the time. These people had the same problem. They wasn't doing it God's way, but they were zealous for God, but in ignorance. So many people are there today, because that's a place that's most dangerous, because it has no salvation behind it. And we try to get people to see that, hopefully, because watch what happens here. It even gets worse, because even some Christians stray away from the mind of Christ to follow another Jesus. It's even getting to the, it's at the point, see, the devil is this smart. He really is. If he could get you to believe you're serving God, and you're not really saved, you're not really in the graces of God, he'll let you serve all you want to serve in the name of Jesus, because he's got a lot of Jesuses out here running around. Yeah. So, he don't mind you. He don't mind you saying, "Jesus, Jesus, love Jesus." Well, that's okay, as long as you miss Jesus, the real Jesus. That's what's happening right here in this context, because Paul here is talking to Christians. And the problem here was many of them was leaving the truth and being drawn away into a false idea that going back to the law was better, or hooking up with the law would have been better. The Old Testament law. And this is what Paul said about it. He said, "But I fear." He had a fear. "I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, that your what? Your mind. Your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached." Here's the "we." I told you earlier that the apostles, if somebody comes and preaches Jesus that the apostles hadn't taught, this is what he's talking about. They preach another Jesus whom we have not taught. If you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted. The problem was they were putting up with it. And you see, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. I've seen it all my life. People who actually get into the church, get into Christ. Somebody comes along with a sweet voice, a wonderful delivery, who's telling them another Jesus. And they got more going on down there than they do here. First thing you know, they slide on out. It's a dangerous thing. Because Satan, just like I told you a while ago, he's not after the world. He's already got them. He wants you. Amen. And he will pull you out of here. I've seen it happen so many times. And you know what? I base my faith on Scripture. If you prove me wrong on Scripture, I want you to. If I'm wrong, come tell me, because I want to know it. If you love me, do that. But you better come with the Scripture. Because here's the problem. Do we understand to leave the body of Christ is condemning your soul? It's like the prodigal son who went and left the father's house, went down, found himself in the pig pen. It's the same problem. You say, well, yeah, but that was a little different. That was the pig pen. Well, any false teaching out here that's got a different Jesus is the pig pen. Amen. Remember that. This is serious, what's going on right here. Paul was a thief. He told these Christians, he told them, he said, by now you should know. He said, there was a time you would have ripped your eyes out, because Paul had some problems with his eyes after he got blinded, I think. And they told him, we'd rip your eye, you love me so much, you'd rip your own eyes out and give them to me. Now they had turned on him. Because he said, because I tell you the truth, you're going to turn on me? Now we get down to business. Because look, he said, but you have not so learned Christ. Let's read back again. You have not so learned Christ. See, it's a teaching. That's what Calvin said this morning. People misunderstand Christianity. They think it's a feeling. I got to feel this. I got to feel that. Well, watch out what you feel, because it might send you right to hell. What you learn is what's important. The Scriptures is the only thing we can base our faith in. You can feel good about that. You can still feel good. Don't get me wrong. But feel good for the truth, okay? And he says, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him, how do we hear him? Through the Scripture. Have heard and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, the real Jesus, the one you find in Scripture, that you put off. Now, wait a minute. Jesus is going to put it off, or we put it off? What did it say? That you put off concerning your what? Formal life. We come out of that baptistry. I can't get over that. This thing will blow up. You get out of the baptistry, when you come out, you got to walk to walk. Now, you don't have to, but you better. But anyway, we got this walk, this old conduct, this old life we leave behind, and we look forward to that new one. That the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, talking about the one we left behind, and be renewed, there it is again, in the spirit of your mind. That you and me, we, put off the new, put on the new man. That's our responsibility. That's our responsibility. How do I do that? Bible studies, prayer, reading scripture, being in church, getting involved with things of God, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We got to walk the walk, in other words. And we got to be the ones who make that move to do it. No place, I've said this before, there's no place in the church of Christ or any body for a lazy Christian. Ain't no place for it. Because you say, well, I don't have to know everything. No, you don't. Somebody comes out of the baptistry is just as saved as I am. But the problem comes in is being drawn away to something false. Without knowledge, you're going to miss it. It bothers me. It's so important. But anyway, let me move on. Question. Whose song are we going to sing? We're going to sing the world's song? Or we're going to sing the Lord's song? Because I'll tell you what, there's a song to be sung. Some may be double-minded trying to serve both the spirit and the flesh. That happens. You know the problem with that, though? God said, James said, I think it was James. Yeah, James. He said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You got somebody that run that way a while, then run back this way a while. And they get with you, and they get real religious, and they get over here, they get with the world. So, come on, let's make up our mind where we at here. Can you have it both ways? There's only two paths. That's what God said. I didn't say it. Let's sing his song, right? This is why we need to have prayer, a prayerful mind. Now, I'm going to go heavy on this one. He said in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. But watch this. But in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Why? Watch what happens. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard what? Your heart. In your mind. You know, if we spent more time praying, I believe we'd be more settled in our minds, because the world around us is caving in on us. It twists our mind 100 different ways. We can't think straight sometimes because we've been pressured by the world. Maybe we need to pray more. Maybe we need to pray more. You know, I was thinking, if a man and a wife would pray more together, maybe it wouldn't be so many divorces. I don't know. That ain't 100% true, I don't guess. The idea of you pray together, the family that prays together, stays together. Maybe that ain't necessarily 100%. But he's telling us here that our prayer life helps sustain our minds. You know, I tried this out several times, and it looks like when I get aggravated by something and I just feel like I'm losing, I just start praying. I say, God, I know where I'm going with this. I need your help here. I start praying and meditating. It does settle you down somewhat. Because God told us, pray without ceasing. And I can understand why. Because prayer keeps our mind in tune with God. Now, we don't have to pray, but I think most of us Christians do. But it's important, this prayer life thing. Jesus, I'm sure, prayed all the time. We know in the garden how he did it. We know that he prayed, and the Bible says it's like great drops of blood that come out of his head. He was just so, think about it. He's getting ready to go to the cross. That prayer is what got him through, I believe, to go through that, because he said, he asked his father, Father, if it's another way, if it's just another way, let me know. Let me get out of this situation, but your will be done, not mine. That prayer got him through that, I believe. And the Holy Spirit, of course. That's the other thing that we need to talk about. But in Isaiah 26:3, he says, your will will keep him in perfect peace. What? Whose mind is stayed on you because you trusted, he trusted in you. Perfect peace. Y'all want peace? My heaven, who don't want peace this day and time? How much you pray? I believe it, I honestly believe that helps us keep our minds settled. Because God knows what it takes to get us through. You and I have the Holy Spirit in our life, and we'll talk a minute about that. When we were baptized into Christ, that's another tool. I hate to say it that way necessarily, another tool that God gave us. A gift, a precious gift of the Holy Spirit to help us manage our mind and life to get us through this world. And by the way, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not His anyway. So this all is coming down to what kind of mind we as Christians have to maintain to make it through to that final final coming. He may come in your life or my life just today. You're killed out here on the highway, my life's over here. In a way, God's second coming was today for me if I got killed. Because that my life is going to be answered for on judgment at that day. But he may actually come today. I don't know. I'm going to leave you with the words of Apostle Paul in Colossians. He said, if then you were raised with Christ, have you been raised with Christ? What he's talking about, have you been raised out of that watery grave of baptism? Because there's where the Holy Spirit come into your life, and have you been raised out of that watery grave? Because that's what it is. It's a grave. A dead man goes in, a live man comes out. And we start making our walk. I was walking that way, now I'm going to go this way. That's what we're talking about. If then you were raised with Christ, if you have, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. He's talking to us. Where's our minds? How much of the world, here's pretty good. We can keep our mind on Christ here pretty good, right? Right now we think about Christ and God and all that. Out there is what we're talking about. Everyday life. How much do we keep our mind on Christ? How much do we keep our mind on things of the world? Now, I'm not saying everything in the world's bad. I'm not saying that. You know what I'm talking about. We got to keep in tune with God. That's what he's saying here, right? That's what Paul's saying. And he said here, he tells us kind of how to do that, because I brought the Spirit in a while ago that's been given to us, that great gift. He says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit. If you have the Spirit, he's in us. We walk in him. And you shall not, see that? You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So, y'all know about this fight, right? Y'all been there. If you're a Christian, you've been here. You know what the fight is. God wants us to develop a mind like him. That's a process. It don't happen overnight. I've been in the faith for a long time, but I'm still moving forward. I don't think I've arrived yet. No, I still got places to go. So do you. We grow in the faith. That's the point. Grow in the faith. We do that by putting forth an effort. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, God is good. He didn't just dump us in the water and say, okay, yeah, yon, yon. No, he gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the word of God. He gave us things to help us get through, okay? He's good. He knows where you are. He knows where I am. We all have different places in the faith. We all at different places. But just remember, we all got a place if we're a Christian. If we don't have a place, let's make one. Right now, we got a watery grave of baptism right behind this screen. Immerse a person in Christ right now and come out a new person to start to walk. They'd be babies, but you know what? You start that walk. And we may even fail sometimes, okay? We may stumble, but that's okay. The Lord says, that's okay. I can help you out of that. We got an advocate. Jesus Christ is in heaven right now. He's on in heaven on the throne right now. He said, you come to me and ask for forgiveness if you're a Christian by prayer. We'll get you through this. But a prayer don't work for a non-Christian unless they really seek him. And then if they seek him, God will only send you to somebody that will tell you how to be saved. But anyway. So have we decided in our mind to follow the Spirit of Christ? Because you know that Spirit indwells us as the Spirit of Christ. We're gonna stand and sing. And that song is I'm going to follow Jesus. I want you to ask yourself when you sing this, do I mean it? Am I really going to follow Christ? Not the Christ I want. Not the Christ that somebody else. I'm talking about the Christ of the Bible. Am I ready to follow him? Because some of his teaching is hard. But that's okay. So we're going to stand now and we're going to have a song. If you want to follow him,